Can we start here at the top of Pehei Amud Aleph, six lines down? We have a statement that we've heard before, Amar Ula. In most likelihood, Ula, who is a third generation Amora, said this in the name or heard this from Rabbi Yochanan, who is a second generation Amora. And the reason I say that is we'll see in the second Amud today that Rabbi Yochanan dealt with this issue and then came to a conclusion. Ula is probably presenting the conclusion of Rabbi Yochanan, or once Rabbi Yochanan already reached a conclusion, which is Amar Ula. Imurei Kodshem Kalim, the Imurim of Kodshem Kalim that usually end up on the Mizbeach, Shelan, so they did end up on the Mizbeach, the only problem was, Bifnei Zrikat Daman, before the Zrika of the Dam was done, Lo Yerdu, they do not come back down, Nasu Lachmosho Mizbeach, they become the bread of the Mizbeach, the food of the Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach is called them. So despite the fact that these Imurim end up on the Mizbeach before the Matir for the Emurim to end up on the Mizbeach, the item that is Mikadesh, the Emurim, is the Zrikat Adam. Kochim Kalim are not Kadosh B'Kedushah, that they are Asur B'Me'ilah, that they have a full-fledged Kedushah of Kochei Kodashim, until after Zrikat Daman. And that only happens to the Emurim, which end up on the Mizbeach. But that Matir is the Zrikat Adam. Despite the fact that you're missing that Zrikat Adam, and the Emurim end up on the Mizbeach, well, it says they stay and they don't come back down. So Amar Abzera, Afanan Namitanina. We can learn this out of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Shenishpach Dama, Vishyatza Dama Chutz Likleim. The instances where we say, Malu, Lo Yerdu, they do not get taken down. Some of those instances are, number one, Nishpach Dama, that the blood was spilled before it was ever put on the Mizbeach, or Yatza Dama Chutz Likleim. The blood was taken outside the walls of the Azara. Uma Hatam, Dim Balizrok, Ingol Lizrok. Over there where he has no opportunity to do Zrikat Adam. The dam is gone entirely. Either it was filled, or when it's Yotze, it's Pasul B'Yotze. So therefore, the dam is out of the picture. Nevertheless, Amar Dimalu Lo Yerdu. You nevertheless, the Mishnah says, at least according to Rabbi Shimon, that if they go up, Lo Yerdu, they do not come back down. Hocha, Dim Bali's Rok Zareik. Over here, where he still has the ability or the opportunity to do Zrikat Adam, Lo Koshikei. Then certainly over here, Imalu Lo Yerdu. So he says, I can be medayek that out of our Mishnah. From the cases in our Mishnah, which are more extreme forms of what you were suggesting, I would believe, or I would suggest, the same conclusion that you came to. What's interesting to note is that the Gemara before, or earlier in the Masechta, we discussed this, the fact, so for instance, if Emurim are present, you have a Kochim Kalim, you did the Zrikat Adam, and then there are Emurim there. One may not, the Kohanim may not eat the Basar until you makriv the Emurim. On the other hand, if the Emurim are absent, entirely absent, they were lost, they got Tamei, then the Kohanim have the right to eat the Basar even without the Kravat Emurim. The Emurim are not Ma'akev, but if they are there, they are Ma'akev. So then we have a concept in other places in Jas, where that if there is an item present, then Bila Ma'akev it will. Then it is Ma'akev. When it's not present, it's not Ma'akev. You could have asked on the logic here, that here, where the dam is missing entirely, then we don't require. There's no requirement of Zrikat Adam. But when the dam is present, maybe we do require Zrikat Adam. Gemara doesn't ask that over here. Probably, and almost most likelihood is that because it's talking about the dam itself. The dam itself, which is the matir. The dam itself, which is the major component of Kaparan, the Korban, if it's totally absent, to say that, oh, it's not Ma'akev, is very strange. If you say that when it's not there, it's not Ma'akev, but when it is there, you got to put it on. But blood is so essential to the whole Korban itself that it would be strange or unusual to suggest that when the blood is not there, that, okay, that's no problem, just keep going without the blood. I'm assuming that's why the Gemara didn't ask it, but there is that type of question or form of question that we find other places in the Masechta. So now the Gemara says about that, well, how do you know that our Mishnah is speaking about both Kodshei Kodashim and Kodshei Kalim? What you have to show us, or what you have to prove out of our Mishnah is speaking about Kodshim Kalim, and therefore you could even medayek what you suggested over here. Rav Zera is suggesting that our Mishnah, we can make such a diuk, that would only be true if our Mishnah is speaking about Kodshim Kalim. So that's what the Gemara answers, Targama a Kodshei Kodashim. Just explain our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about cases of Kodshei Kodashim. So Hare Pesach. Our Mishnah mentions Pesach. Pesach, it says, Pesach v'chatat shelo lishman, are things that imalu, right there, lo yerdu. So Pesach, which is Kodshim Kalim, who? So how could you suggest that our Mishnah is not describing a case of Kodshei Kalim, only a case of Kodshei Kodashim? So Targuma, explain our Mishnah, or explain the Mishnah in the case of Pesach, which is Mishlosh Mishmantanan.
Are we doing the Targum, the Mishnah, or the Braisa?
It's not clear, because the...
Here it says the Braisa.
Right. It says Tanina, the first section here follows identical to our Mishnah. There's a latter half, which is not found in our Mishnah, which is clearly from a Braita. The question of the earlier part can apply equally to our Mishnah as it can to the Braita, because every statement they make is true of our Mishnah as well as a Braita. And it uses the term Tanina, which is, right, a Tanaic work. So it's not clear from here where it's being quoted from. You're right, later in this section, it's clear that it's coming from a Braita. At this point in the question, it could either be our Mishnah or a Braita. Right? So by the Pesach, it says, Pesach v'chatat shelo lishman. Gemara here is suggesting that we'll narrow it down to say that the Pesach is only mentioned because of the aspect of lo lishma. It's not mentioned in the context of the other items that are prior to that. What are the items prior to that? One of those items is Nishpach Dama. Those items that you're trying to be medayik out of, that the Pesach is not relevant to. So again, we've brought to a point where the Kodshim Kalim are not relevant to either the Mishnah or the Braita. Bukulan, so this is the next case, Sha'alu Chayin, the Gabea Mizbeach, anything that was taken alive to the top of Mizbeach, Yerdu, is taken back down again. So ha, what would you be medayik from that? Hashkutim, those that are Shechted, Lo Yerdu. Right, that which shechted atop the Mizbeach does not come down. My love, lo shna kodshei kodashim, lo shna kodshei kalim. It makes no difference whether it's kodshei kodashim or kodshei kalim. Now why is this different than the earlier part of the Mishnah? What's different at this point in time is that the Mishnah or the Braita uses the term v'chulan. Once you use the term chulan, that implies or indicates that we're not just talking about what we've been talking about until this point in time, right? But rather here is something else. Like our Mishnah says, kulan shalu chayim. Kulan, what's the kulan? Now the kulan has to either reference back to the previous groups of items, or Kulan is coming to tell us something more than we've said until this point in time. So the Gemara's assumption now is that Kulan means both Kodshei Kodashim and Kodshei Kalim. That's what it means, Kulan. It says, lo, ha, shchutin, those that are shechted, mehen yerdu, mehen lo yerdu. Some of them will be brought down, and some of them will not be brought down. The difference between being between Kodshei Kodashim and Kodshei Kalim. Kodshei Kodashim will remain. If you bring them up there, chayim, they even come down. But if you bring them up there and you shech them up there, they will remain up there. That's not true of kodshei kalim. Kodshei kalim, even if you shech them up there, they will be brought down, at least according to this diuk, or this understanding of the Gemara. The Gemara says, okay, ha, kulan ktani. What are you going to do with the word kulan that's written there? So the Gemara says, kulan achayim. That's modifying chayim. That all types of carbonate that are alive when they're taken up there must be brought down. Someone says, pshita. That's simple, of course. If it's still alive, while it's still alive, there's no reason to not bring it back down. Why would you leave it up there? Someone says, lo'olan, achayim ubedokin shiba'ayin v'alibad Rabbi Kiva. We're talking about an animal that's alive, but the chiddush here is that it's alive and it has a mum in it. A mum, according to Rabbi Akiva, that would remain on Mizbeach if it was already shchuta and brought up by accident. Rabbi Akiva, as we saw in our Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah says that an animal that is after shchita, that we find a psul in it, this psul is a mum that is otherwise kashir be'ufot, only pasul be'behema, if such a korban imalu, lo yerdu, they're not brought down. But that's only true if it's shchuta. Now what you're suggesting over here is, if the animal is alive with such a mum, and you take it up to the top of the Mizbeach, let's think about our options now. If you shech that behema up there, and leave it at the top of the Mizbeach, it will remain there, and you'll be able to replace it, the korban on the Mizbeach, and everything will be fine. On the other hand, if you bring it back down to the Ritzpat Hazara, that animal is no good, even according to Rabbi Akiva. Even according to Rabbi Akiva, once you bring the animal back down, you're talking about an animal that's a baal mum, Michayim, we don't shecht it. Rabbi Akiva's statement is only b'diavad. Imalu, lo yerdu. But now if you bring it back down to the floor of the Azara, even according to Rabbi Akiva, it won't go up. So now by bringing it back down, what are you doing? You're ensuring that it will not end up on the Mizbeach. And that's the Chiddush. The Kulan is on the Chayim. All animals that are alive, that have on top of the Mizbeach, even one with a psul mum like Rabbi Akiva, will be brought down. Even though that will now prevent it from ending up on the Mizbeach. Had you shecht it at the top of the Mizbeach, it would have remained there and would have been put on the Mizbeach. So even this is going to undermine the fact that this animal went up in the Mizbeach. Nevertheless, we ask you to bring it back down. So Mar says, because this is according to Lama Chaim, Budokin Shabayim, Vadimit, Rakib, the Mari, Malulu, you're due. So by Ukimta. So now what are you suggesting over here? Bipsulim. If you say it here, we're talking about Psulim, Ema Seifa. What about the latter part of the Mishnah, the Braita, which says, Chenula, Shaltach Chaya, the Rosh Mizbeach, and Ola was taken alive up to the top of the Mizbeach, Tereid, that should be brought down. Shachta, Berosh Mizbeach, if you shecht on the top of the Mizbeach, Yashit, Vinateach, Bim Koma. Then you do the Fshet, you do the flaying, the skinning, and Vinateach, and do the quartering or dismembering at the top of the Mizbeach. Now, if you're suggesting that our Mishnah or the Braita is talking about a case of psula, ipsula bav tefshet v'nituachi, if it's really an ola, now what you're considering to be an ipsula, psula, since when is flaying and dismembering done to a animal that is psula? Because the pasuk says, v'nitach ota, amar rachmana, when it says, v'nitach ota lintchav, it means otak shera velo psula. Only a kshera requires nituach, and hafshet will be as well, but a psula does not. It says, seifa otan the kshera. The seifa is going according for a kshera. The seifa is teaching us in a case of a kshera, that's what you do. So now you might ask, umay kamash falon. So then what's the chiddush? What's the chiddush then an ola that ends up at the top of the mizbeach, that was been shchuta at the top of the mizbeach, that you have to process it like a normal ola? What's the chiddush in that? The chiddush here is that you actually do the hefshet, the skinning, the flaying, and the tuach, dismembering, at the top of the mizbeach, because that is subject to controversy. That is not so straightforward. Now, the way Rashi learns it is that just that's a basic idea that you just do it. Hefshet and nituach at the top. That's what we're talking about here. Tosfos takes issue with this, and Mefarsh Rebbe Chaim, the Rebbe Chaim explains this Gemara differently because he says Tema. You could have asked this question anyway. What's the next question in the Gemara? The Gemara says, what about the one who says that ein hefshet minituach berosh hamizbeach? There's a mandamar that says there is no such thing as hefshet minituach on the top of the mizbeach. So ma'ikal ameimar, how are you going to explain the mission of the bright according to this mandamar? So Tosvot, Rabbeinu Chaim says, listen, that question the Gemara could have asked independently of our whole sugya over here. That should be asked on the Mishnah as a whole, or on this individual. Someone has this opinion, how do you deal with our Mishnah, even without the interpretation that we're having here? Therefore, Rabbeinu Chaim says that everybody agrees, this is what he says, Dim alta b'rosh ha-mizbeach, v'tantav l'mizbeach, t'kulei alma yesh hefshet nituach. Everybody agrees that you do this, the flaying and the dismembering at the top of the mizbeach. So what's the question? Kishila mata, when it's brought down again. So that's bifligi. Mahula lota ulhafshita. What's the din? Can you take it up to be mafshitit? And this is what it means. Bishlama yimari reisha b'ksherim. If you're dealing with ksherim in the reisha, on the first half of the Mishnah, or in the Baraita, then the Tana Seifa Ligluye Reisha. Then the Seifa comes to teach you that the Reisha is talking about Ksherim. How do I know that? Because the Seifa is also talking about Ksherim. The purpose of bringing down Ksherim in the Seifa is to show me that the Reisha was also talking about Ksherim. But the way you've explained the Mishnah of the Braita now is that the Reisha is talking about Psulim. So if it's talking about Psulim, then you can't say that the Seifa, this case, has come to teach you about Ksherim. Because now Ksherim are meaningless at this point. So Alpha Gav, the Seifa doesn't teach before it. If you would say the Seifa doesn't teach us anything, that's fine when it's teaching us Ksherim and not Psulim. But now when it's teaching us only this is Ksherim and nothing else, then it's not teaching us anything. If it's not Psulim, there's nothing to talk about. Ibik Ksherim, my Kamashmalan. What's the Kiddush? So I Kamashmalan, the Yeshav Shem, Nituach, Rosh Mizbeach. Then everybody agrees to that. Klomar afilo rida yalena lahavshitena. Then even if you take it back down, you take it up again. Once you do the shechita at the top of the mizbeach, this mandamar believes if you take it down, you bring it back up. And that's the Gemara's question. The Gemara's question is, believe the mandamar, that once you've taken it down, that you don't bring it back up. So the machlokas here, according to Rabbeinu Chaim, is not that if you're on the top of the mizbeach, do you do have shechita nituach. That's a given according to everybody. The only question is, if you take it back down, after you've done shechita at the top of the mizbeach, now you take it down, do you do have shechita nituach on the zera floor, or do you take it back up to the Rosh Mizbeach to continue to do the avoda at the top of the mizbeach? So that's what the Gemara says, anicha, it works well according to the one who says that you take it back up and do it on the top of the mizbeach. But the mandamar who says that you leave it, once you've taken it down, you stay down with it according to Rabbeinu Chaim, or according to what seems to be Rashi, that you don't do have shechita nituach at the top of the mizbeach, That it was a point in time when it had a shata kosher, that it was at one point it was kosher. The korban at one point had itzad kashru to it, and then it was nifsila. And then it became pasul. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, he, the mark, kevin she nizrak adam v'hurtza. Since there was rikat adam, and it was nitkabel, because at that point in time, it was kasher v'nirtza basar, she'achat yafshitena v'orad ha'kohanim. At the requirement of hefshet v'nituach, according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, is not limited to ksherim. It's limited to, or it's expanded to include, not just ksherim, but anything that was at one point kasher. As long as at some point it had a shata kosher, at that point in time, you say, that obligates the hefshet nituach. Even though at a latter point it becomes pasul, for instance, you have tameh, or lan, or yotze, which were psulim that happened after the korban was already kosher. If that's the case, then we say still do hefshet nituach. And that's the chiddush over here. The chiddush over here is that even though it's a korban shen nifsal, now we're talking about a korban pasul, nevertheless, since it had a point in time where it had the shata kosher, therefore, we say, go ahead and do hefshet v'nituach. And that's the chiddush of the Mishnah over here. That's what you were asking me about. That was you asking me, what's the chiddush of this seifa? That's the chiddush of this seifa. That even when it is pasul, nevertheless, it requires hefshet v'nituach.
Hold on. Now we're moving over to the seifa, saying, oh, if we're talking about pasul, then we've got a problem.
You don't do hefshet v'nituach on pasulim.
So it must be ksherim.
Right, it must be talking about ksherim. So the Gemara says, okay, that works well according to one who says you can do hefshet v'nituach. Either the top of the mizbeach according to the Rabbeinu Chaim, if it goes down, you bring it back up. But what according to the one who says you don't bring it back up? According to the one who doesn't says you can't do hefshet v'nituach on the top of the mizbeach. How are you going to explain this Mishnah that says that there's hefshet v'nituach on the top of the mizbeach? The answer is that we're talking like Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, who says that an animal that had a shata kosher, an animal that at one point was shechted, the shechita was done, it was kosher. The zrikat dam was done when it was kosher. That's what happened. You took the animal up to the top of the mizbeach, you shechted it, you did zrikat dam, and then it became pasul. Do you require hefshet and any tuach? The answer is according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, yes. You need to do hefshet and tuach. Right, so you took it alive. It was a kosher behema. You took it alive up to the top of the mizbeach. You shecht it there. You do the zrikat dam there. And now it became pasul. Before the hefshet and nituach are done. Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon comes and tells you, you still do hefshet and nituach, even though it's pasul or psula in this case, because this is the unusual case that it had a shata kosher.
What psul can happen there?
Tamei.
Right,
but the one who says any hefshet nituach rosh mizbeach has to explain the Mishnah. How is they going to explain the Mishnah? This is a way that they can explain the Mishnah according to the way that we're doing it now. That you're right. If you just explain that it's talking about sheirim and the Rashi is talking about sheirim, there's no problem. But if you're going to do what we did to eliminate the proof from the Mishnah, the Braita, to the statement of Ula, then you're going to have to come up with a chiddush here for this Daman Domer. So how are we going to do that? We'll fit him in according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara is squeezing because it dochek here because it wants to keep the Mishnah from being a proof to Ula. By doing that, it has to narrow down the cases of the Mishnah or the Braita, and when it does that, then you run into a problem in this explanation according to one Mandomer. So the Gemara says, I can solve it, I'll give you this narrow case where it is relevant. So Ve'elo Diktani Ketzer Oseh. So then here where it says, how do you do this? So this is the point where it comes in, but we don't have this. We don't have this part of the, this part is not in our Mishnah. This part is in the Braita. So this is how you know that at least we're talking about a Braita. I don't know, again, until this point, whether we're talking about a Braita, and this is in addition, this is the latter half of the Braita, or until this point we're talking about our Mishnah, and the Diktani is there's a Braita that extends beyond our Mishnah. Because everything we said until this point in time is considered to be a Mishnah. If you look at Rashi now, it says, Ve'elo Diktani, B'Braita de Zvachim, Karsinanle. We have this in the Braita of Zvachim, which implies, until this point, we were not speaking about a Braita, we're speaking about our Mishnah. So that's why I was explaining until this point, is our Mishnah, you could explain it either way. The parts until this point are found both in our Mishnah and in the Braita. From this point forward, it's only found in the Braita. You take down the innards down below, and then you rinse them off. Why would you rinse them off? Why would you rinse them off here? Because they are not going to end up on the Mizbeach. If you are morid them, if you take them down in order to rinse them off, they will not go back up. So because of that, we're like, oh, what are you going to rinse them for? There's no point. These kirbayim, when they're brought down, they're going to be, that's it. They're not going on the mizbeach anymore. So why rinse them in order to not put them on the mizbeach? That doesn't make sense. So it says, eichanavit. What do you want them to do? Nakuvinhu b'partayu? You want to put their paratayu? You want them to put up with the perish shalem? You want to put them up there with their excrement, with the perish that's inside of the kirbayim? What's your suggestion? Keep them at the top of the mizbeach. Forget about rinsing them off. Just throw them straight onto the mizbeach. That is inappropriate because that hakrivehu nala pechatecha ayutzecha oisapanecha. If you bring up the worst of your items, the dregs of your offerings, you think Hashem's going to want that? That's what you bring to Hashem? You think that's what He's going to do? This is going to appease Him? That's not what Hashem wants. So how you can't do that. That's inappropriate, completely inappropriate to throw such an item on the Mizbeach. This is what we mean. Why are you rinsing them at all? Listen to the answer of the Gemara. It's an unbelievable answer of the Gemara. This is like the case where the child on Shabbos, where you have an obligation to tell a child not to be mechalel Shabbos, but you know that the child in the other room might turn off the light that you really want off, and the person, you know, walks out of the room, they don't do anything, you know, pitom, the light's off. Right, so this is what they're going to do over here. What are they going to do? They're going to rinse them and leave them down in the Beit Mitbachayim. They're going to leave it there, and then what's going to happen? Another Kohen who has no idea what happened here is going to show up and say, oh no, there are kibayim left here, I got to get them on the Mizbeach. And he's going to go ahead and take them up to the Mizbeach. So we're hoping that maybe somebody who doesn't know about the story will come along and put them on the Mizbeach. So the imitrami Kohen Achuino, and that's Kino, he'll take it up. The spot that met over here just raises a question on the answer of the Gemara that we should leave it around. Or let's rinse it and leave it around for a Kohen. Well, if the Kerbayim are determined to be Pasul, then they go to the Sreifa. They're burnt up right away. Why do you have to wait around? They're Pasul to Gamre. They're problematic. Burn them up right away. Why do you have to rinse them? Why do you leave them around at all? He leaves that as a Tzarachim Gadol as to why the Gemara even considers in the case of Pasul that we should rinse them. And in addition to that, we should leave them around for a Kohen to put them on the Mizbeach. Get rid of them right away. Put them to Sreifa and you won't have any issues whatsoever. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? How could you do such a thing? We're going to put them into a situation where b'dieved, right, if he takes it onto the Mizbeach, then lo yared. But the chatchila shouldn't have been taken up. So you're going to leave a Kohen in a position where he now will take it up to the Mizbeach because he doesn't know the din? Again, the same thing like on Shabbos, leaving the child there to turn the light off. That's not right. Bid the Eved, if it happens, fine. But l'chatchila, you can't have the child be in that position. You have to prevent them. So Gemara says, afilo achi, adifa, shalo yehu, kochi shemayim mutalim, b'kin nevela. So this is not an answer. We don't let the other Kohanim do this. But better to rinse them off, even though they're not going to end up in the Mizbeach, so they shouldn't lie around like a nevela. A nevela, when it's lying around, when you have a dead carcass lying around, you don't rinse it off. You don't take care of the parts. Here, where it's a kodshei shamayim, even though it's psula, it's inappropriate to leave them lying around without rinsing them off. So we rinse them off, even though they will not return to the Mizbeach, even though they will not be placed in the Mizbeach, rinse them off, because we don't want it to be bizoi kodshim. So now, this is what I was saying to you earlier in the Gemara. The Gemara started out with a statement of Ula. Rabbi Zeira tried to bring a deal from our Mishnah, the Braita, to support that position of Ula. The Gemara went ahead and reinterpreted the Mishnah, or narrowed the scope of the Mishnah and the Braita, to a point where it was no longer a proof to Ula, because they eliminated Kodshei Kalim from our Mishnah, or from the Braita. They said that the Mishnah, the Braita, was only talking about Kodshei Kodashim, and because of that, it wasn't a proof to Ula. So that's where we ended up. And then because of that, we had to come up with all these wild explanations for the latter half of the Mishnah. They narrowed it only to Kodshei Kodashim to bring us a Chiddush in that latter half of the Mishnah. Now, we have a statement I said before that I think Ula is quoting in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, or after Rabbi Yochanan came to a conclusion. Because Ula is a Talmud, he's a third generation Amora, Rabbi Yochanan a second generation Amora, and that's because this piece of the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Boy Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan had a question. Emre Kodshei Kalim, She'alan Lifnei Zrikat Taman. Exactly the case of Ula. If Emre Kodshei Kalim that were taken up to the Mizbeach before Zrikat Adam, Yerdu, Olo Yerdu, should they be brought down or not? So Amar Le Rabbi Amei, V'tibay Loch Me'ilo. Why don't you ask even another question, or a simpler question? Do these Emurim have Me'ilah or not have Me'ilah? What is the generator of Me'ilah by Kodshei Kalim? Is Zrikat Adam. So here where they lack Zrikat Adam, but they're up on the Mizbeach, do they take on the properties of Me'ilah or not? So Amar Le, Me'ilah Lokim Mibayle. Mila, I have no question about. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Dizrikahu dekavaluhu b'meila." The trigger, the threshold for the item becoming chayav b'meila is zrikat adam, and that is absent over here. The absence of the zrikat adam makes it clear to me that there is no meila over here. Kikami bayule yirida. My only question exists with regards to whether you take them down or don't take them down. Upashit. And then he concluded, lo yerdu. They're not taken down. Ve'in bahem mi'ilah. And they do not have mi'ilah. So you see, Rabbi Yochanan asked the question, and then he came to the conclusion that, lo yerdu, they're not taken down. But Rabbi Nachum Yitzchak Mandehachi, he has another version of this story. Amar Rabbi Chiya Ba'abo, Bayi Rabbi Yochanan, Imrei Kodshim Kalim, She'elam Lifnei Zrikat Daman. You have these Merim of Kodshim that were placed on his back before the Zrika. Yesh bahem mi'ilah. Oh, lo. Do they have mi'ilah or do they do not have mi'ilah? So the question that he had said pashut about before, now he's asking the question that Rabbi Ami had asked him. So I'm going to say Rabbi Ami. Now Rabbi Ami will ask him the opposite. Why are you asking about mi'ilah? What about the fact that do they stay up on the top of the mizbeach or not stay up on the mizbeach? So he says, I'm going to I don't have any question about Yiridah. They for sure become the lechem, the achilah, the food of the Mizbeach, and they remain there. The Mizbeach is kolet them. By the way, the exact same lashon that is used by Ula. Ula says in his statement that im alu lo yerdu, because nasu lachmoshu Mizbeach. So kikam ibiyale, what I do have a question about is mi'ila. Upashit hachi, and he concluded, lo yerdu, they do not go down, vein by mi'ila, they do not have mi'ila. So here you have Rabbi Yochanan who either had a question about Mi'ilah or had a question about these Emurim, and the conclusion of him is basically the Pshita and the two different versions that we have. It's Pshita to him that there's no Mi'ilah, because that's determined by Zrikat Adam. It's also Pshita to him that the Emurim that go up stay up because they become Lachmosha Mizbeach. And that seems to me the origins of Ula's statement. Ula's statement is, Amar Ula, Emurim Kochim Kalim, Shalan Lifnei Zrikat Adam, Lo Yerdu, Nasu Lachmosha Mizbeach. So he seems to be after the conclusion of Rabbi Yochanan, or after this process, that's Ula had this memory, or this conclusion of Rabbi Yochanan, that's what he was stating over there. Alright, that's the end of this piece of the Gemara. Then we move on to the next section of the Mishnah. Ve'elu lo haya psulan ba'kodesh. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, this is the case where Rabbi Akiva disagrees with the Tanna Kamma and says that even though these are items that are not psulan b'kodesh, Rabbi Akiva classifies these as being yes, and they think Abu Ugo Yerdu is El B'dokin Shba'ayin. Rabbi Yochanan says that he modifies Rabbi Akiva. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva says all Bali Mumin are fine. That if a Bali Mum goes up, then Lo Yared, as opposed to the Tanna Kamma says Bal Mum is in psulan b'kodesh and it goes down. So Rabbi Akiva argues in a generic sense and says Bal Mum. Now Rabbi Yochanan over here modifies or qualifies the statement of Rabbi Akiva, which is what we do all the way along. All the time we discuss Rabbi Akiva, we do with this qualification, which is Lo Yishir Rabbi Akiva, L'Bedokin Shibayin, Ho Ukshirim Bofot. Since they are Kashir Bofot, therefore by Behema, we're not going to say that it forces you to take it down. It'll be classified as a Psulan B'Kodesh, and therefore if they end up in the Mizbeach, we're not going to force you to take it down. The example given by the Gemara here is Dokin Shiba'ayim. Tosafot, when we discussed this earlier, mentioned that there are other mumim between a behema and an oaf that also would qualify for this. So Tosafot, why didn't they mention them? Over there he discussed it, but Tosafot seems to suggest that any mum that is only applicable to an oaf and not to a behema would have the same status as Dokin Shiba'ayim. So Rashi, as he does everywhere else in the Masechta, explains what's the difference between a mum and a mechusar aver by an oaf. Says by a mum, the requirement of tamim zachar is only written by the behemot, by the carbonot that come from behemot. By oafot, we have no such requirement. Yet, there's still a problem with bringing an oaf mechusar aver. Rashi says, why is that true? He says, because it's a lack or a problem of hakriveyu na lepecha techa, puzzle that we just brought before, that you can't bring your dregs. You can't bring the worst of your possessions to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's not appropriate. And Rashi says, there v'chol mum is megune, that a mum like this or a chusar aver is something that's megune, and therefore inappropriate to be bringing before a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tosafot, not over here, but in other places, Rashi mentions that, says that's not true. That's not the reason why we don't bring a chusar aver for an oaf. He brings two other possibilities. One is that because we know by Ben Noach, we learned this in the Gemara in Sanhedrin and in Avodah Zarah, that a Ben Noach is precluded from bringing a mechusar aver bekarban. So if a Ben Noach is precluded, then certainly a Jew is precluded from bringing a mechusar aver. The other possibility is from the drasha. It's an explicit drasha in the Gemara in Kiddushin, which says min ha'ofot. So when it says you bring a karban min ha'ofot, Yesh ofot that you do bring, but not kol ofot. Not all ofot are brought on the mizbeach. What are the ofot that are not brought on the mizbeach? Those are the mechuser eiver. So it also says it's not because of akreo na lepechatecha. That's not the preclusion or the reason we don't bring mechuser eiver by ofot, but rather either because we have a drasha from the pasuk, like the Gemara in Kedushin says, or we have a kav v'chomer from a ben Noach when it comes to mechuser eiver by ben Noach, which is posel and certainly by a Jew. It also is, in many places explains why that kav v'chomer is not good and why we do need an explicit pasuk to preclude the Jew from bringing him a chuser eiver. So now there's another statement. Rabbi Yochanan also makes another statement. Another qualification would give a statement that is only if the hekdesh happened before the mum. If it was already kadosh b'kedushat mizbeach, and then afterwards the mum appears in the animal. But if it was the other way around, the mum existed first, and then you mekadesh the animal with the mum in it, it doesn't become kadosh b'kedushat mizbeach. It's never tofes on this animal because the mum is already there. If it has a mum in it, it can't become kadosh mizbeach. It's automatically either going to have to be nifdeh, or it's only kadosh b'kedushat damim. So now, if that's the case, it would not be qualified. If you bring it up in the mizbeach, then it is yereid. Moder Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva agrees, bolat nikeva. When you bring a female animal for an olah, the equivalent of having the mum precede the hekdesh. Why is that? An olah only comes from zecharim. It only comes from a zachar, for a male. So the gabe olah, in reference to an olah, and the keva is classified as a mum. The gender has an impact as if it's a mum. Therefore, if you're makdish, a female animal, to be an olah, it's as if the mum was there first. The mum is its gender. That mum prevents it from ever becoming kodshei mizbeach, and therefore, if you try to put it up on the mizbeach, or if it ends up on the mizbeach, you will take it down. Bami Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya has a question. Yesh nirba ba'ofot, or ein nirba ba'ofot? Is there a din of nirba, meaning bestiality being performed on an oaf, that would be poselit from the mizbeach? Does that apply to birds or not? Why? Mi amar, do we say min ha-behima? The limud is from min ha-behima, lo-tzi et ha-roveya, v'anirba. And when it says min ha-behima, we learn out from that that any animal that has had bestiality performed with it, whether it was the active participant or the passive participant, it's basul min hizbeach. So we'll qualify that and say, kol heichad ita b'roveya ita b'nirba. That any time you have both sides of the puzzle, if the animal can be a roveya, so too it can become a nirba. Kol heichad leita b'roveya leita b'nirba. An animal which cannot perform roveya, cannot be roveya, which is like a bird, that can't perform the active form of bestiality, therefore it will not qualify, will not have the issue of nirba. Odilma. Or is the only thing that after mina beima, the miyut of the pasuk is coming to teach us, when you have an aveira performed with an animal, bestiality, is poselet, removes it from the right to be on the mizbeach. So what is it that makes it improper for the mizbeach? Is it the fact that it was a beima that can perform both sides of bestiality, the active and passive form? Therefore, if it has one of them, it's problematic. Or is it the fact that there was an aveira done here? And an aveira disqualifies it, no matter whether it can do both parts of it or not. So the nafkamina between those will be an oaf. An oaf that cannot be roveya, because it still had the psul of nirba. So Amarabo Toshma. I'll prove it to you. Rabbi Kiva Machshir Bebalei Mumin. Rabbi Kiva in our Mishnah says that Balei Mumin do go up on the Mizbeach, imalu lo yerdu. Bimita Nachshir Nami bin Nirba. If that's true, if what you're saying is true, we should also be Machshir bin Nirba. Ho, v'kashir ba'ofot. Because it's kashir ba'ofot. If you're suggesting to me that Rabbi Kiva's reasoning, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is the reason that Balei Mumin are entitled to go on the Mizbeach, is because there's Mumim that do not apply to an oaf, are allowed by behema. If they go up, they don't come down. So if you really believed that nirba does not apply to an oaf, then nirba by behema should also imalu lo yerdu, should go up, should not have to come down, because it doesn't have application by an oaf. Since it doesn't have application by oaf, the behema, if it's Allah, lo yerid, will not be taken down. So Amar of Nachum Yitzchak Afana Namitanina. We also have a brayta that supports that position, which is we have a brayta that says Hanirba Vamukze Vanevad Vetnan Umechir Vetumtum Vajigunus Kulam Tmetamim Bigadim Beit Abliya. So when we're talking about Tumah Beit Abliya, we're obviously talking about an oaf kasher, because the only thing that has Tumah when you swallow it that generates the Tumah is an oaf, an nevelat oaf kasher. So that has to be a case of the, we're talking about an oaf kasher here. And over there in that bright, it says nirba and not roveya. When it says nirba mukseh v'nevad. So you see it includes there are nirba, so we're talking about ofot, and that would support this position or this understanding that nirba does apply to ofot. Tumtum and andrigonus. How do you deal with tumtum and andrigonus? over here, because yesh tamut v'zichut b'beheima. The requirement of gender and tamim is only by a beheima. By an oaf, ain tamut v'ain zichut. There is no requirement of tamim. There's also no requirement of gender. Gender is irrelevant by a bird. You can bring a zachar or a nekeva. So then why should it matter if the bird is a tumtum or a drigonus? It should be irrelevant whether they are a zachar or a nekeva. So Rashi says over here, that's only true if you believe that a tumtum and a drigonus is safek zachar, safek nekeva. That whether we believe about them, that we just don't know. They're either zachar or nekeva. We are unable to determine which one they are. If that's the way you read the safek of the tumtum and a drigonus, in Ochanami, you're right. But there is another daya. There's a daya in the Mishnah that a tumtum and a drigonus are bria b'fnei atzma. They're their own category. They're not a nekeva. They're not a zachar. They're this mix of zachar and nekeva. They're a new creation, independent. They don't have a gender. They're not the gender of male or female. The gender called male-female. There's that gender. You said the same thing about ben shmashot. The argument about ben shmashot. Ben shmashot is safek yom, safek laila. Is ben shmashot daytime? Or is it nighttime? Or is ben shmashot lo yom velo laila? It's a period of time where it's not yom or laila. It's for sure neither of them. It's a twilight zone where it's neither yom neither laila. So it could be that bria b'fnei atzma, which is independent. So they said the same thing here. Is it zachar, is it nekeva, or maybe it's a bria b'fnei atzma? So Rashi says that braita will have to be according to the opinion that believes that tumtum and andrigonus is a bria b'fnei atzma, based on the Mishnah in Bechorot, where over there Rabbi Eliezer argues on the Tanakama and says that any place that it requires zachar v'nekeva, any place the Torah specifies zachar and nekeva, then tumtum and andrigonus are left out. V'of ho'el v'lo ne'mar bar zachar nekeva. Oof, since it has no zachar nekeva, I ata yecholot simi b'nehem tumtum andrigonus. Then you can't eliminate a tumtum and an andrigonus over there. So Rabbi Lezer will be arguing on this position there. So we have one time I was going to say that it's a bria b'fnei atzma, and then you have Rabbi Lezer clearly says that tumtum and andrigonus are fine to put on the mizbeach because there's never a specification of zachar nekeva by ofot. So Rashi says, this braita will have to be according to one who says bria b'nei atzma, and it also will argue on this position of Rabbi Eliezer. Or the Tanakama of Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah Bechorot obviously argues on that position of Rabbi Eliezer, and therefore he would be posel the tumtum and andrigonus like our braita does over here. Right, Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim, this is what Tzvi that you would ask on the Mishnah, Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim knocked it off the Mizbeach, as if to imply that it was for some reason it was there inappropriately. My Kamash Malon. What is the point to bring down Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim? Either, like you suggested, it was Asur, and if it's Asur, what's it doing up there on the Mizbeach? Error number two is, it's not Asur, and then why was he knocking it off the Mizbeach? So, Ibai Teima, Masik, Kamash Malon. It was Asur. It's just telling us, Maisa Shahaya, to tell us that's true. That Imalu Yerdu, that he took them down. Somebody put them up there by mistake, and he took them back down. Vibayit Ema, my Doche, what does Doche mean? Kilachar Yad. He did it in a manner of Shinui. He did it in a way that was, in order to not to be Mivazeh the Kodshim. He said, he pushed them off with the side of his hand, with the back of his hand, in order that it wouldn't be Derech Bizayon. That wouldn't be Zayon, that they literally carry them off the Mizbeach. They literally carry. So that would be the Chiddush of Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. Chanina Skana Kohanim says, even though in our mission there's a requirement to Tered that they be taken down, that is only true if you do it in a Kachar Yad. It's not true if you do it in a direct, open manner. So now the next case, Amar Ula, the Kashem Shi Mala, we said in the end of our Mishnah, if it goes up, Lo Tered, same thing, if Yarad, if it was taken down, Lo Yaled, then you don't take it back up. Amar Ula, Lo Shanu Elo Shalom Mashla Behena Or. That's only if the fire hasn't taken to them yet. And Rashi says, Mashla Behena Or, Kolduhu, any part of the fire, anything caught of the fire on it already, you don't, even if you bring it down, you take it back up again. But Mashla Behena Or, Yalu. Then even if they were Imalu, then Lo Yerdu. But if in Yarad, they stay down, that's only true if the fire never took hold of them. The fire took hold of them already, then they become Lachmosha Mizbeach, and then you return them even onto the Mizbeach, even though they didn't start. Lachatchila, you would not take them up there. Rav Mari says this statement of Ula is going on the Reisha of the Mishnah. Now here, Reisha and Seifa. Reisha means on the Mishnah that we have. That's what we just said, that statement that we explained to Ula. The Seifa is the next Mishnah, the Mishnah that we're about to read.
The Mishnah that we have.
The Mishnah we're defining right now, the way I explained the Gemara until this point, that's what it's talking about. The Seifa is talking about the Mishnah we're about to read. It's in the next three lines. We'll see the next Mishnah. So that's Matnei HaSeifa. What's that? Atzamot, Vagidim, Vakornayim, Vatalfayim. That all of these items, Bizmachim, Mechubarim, if they're still attached to the animal, Yalu. Then you put them up in the Zvech. Pirshu, if they remove the animal, Lo Yalu. Marula, Lo Shanu El Shalom Mashal Ben Or. That's only if the fire didn't take hold of them. Aval Mashal Ben Or. If the fire already took a hold of them, Yalu. Then they're taken up. Even if they came down, they're brought back up again. Manda Matnei HaSeifa, Koshu Kein HaReisha. The one who says that Ula says this about the Seifa, he certainly would say it about the Reisha. Because if the Seifa, in cases where these are items that are never Ra'oi to end up in the Mizbeach, but because they're attached, they end up in the Mizbeach, and then we say if Mashlaba and Aor, you take them back up. Certainly in the Reisha, we're talking about items in a Korban that otherwise, or normally you would place such items on the Mizbeach. They're not Ra'oi the Mizbeach. They are totally Ra'oi the Mizbeach. They just have an exogenous psul in them. They have some sort of psul that's preventing them from ending up in the Mizbeach. Not that they're inherently psul like the items in the next Mishnah, which are items that shouldn't end up in the Mizbeach at all. It's only because they're Mechubar that we put them up. So if there you say, if the fire caught them, then you bring them back up, then certainly in the Reisha. The one who says with the Reisha, I'll say for love, b'nei haftarin inu. And the Seifa will say, I don't say that. Even if the fire caught them, if they're brought down, they don't go up. They don't belong in the Mizbeach. They are not a part of those items that normally end up on the Mizbeach. They're just there because they're attached. If they were detached and they end up on the Mizbeach, then if they're taken down, we say, leave them down. Even if the fire caught them, because they're just not achilat ha-Mizbeach. They're not the lechem of the Mizbeach, because they do not belong on the Mizbeach. All right, next Mishnah. Ve'lu shim alu yerdu. These items, if they go up in the Mizbeach, they do come down. Basar kodshei kodashim u'basar kodshei kalim. The flesh of kodshei kodashim, which is consumed by the kohen, kodshim kalim, which are consumed by the balim, plus there's matnot to the kohen, they come down. Why? Because they don't belong on the Mizbeach. They're not achilat Mizbeach. They're achilat adam. They don't belong on the Mizbeach whatsoever. U'motara omer, the leftover of the omer, which is out ne'achal kohenim, that, if it's placed on the Mizbeach, comes down. Shtei alechem, which are consumed by the kohenim. The lechem apanim, also which are consumed by the kohenim. If they go on the Mizbeach, they're brought back down. V'sharei menachot, v'aktoret. Any leftovers of menachot, where the kometz goes on the Mizbeach, the remainder is eaten by the kohenim. Or ketoret that's placed on the Mizbeach. Now we're talking about the ketoret, we're talking about ketoret on the Mizbeach hachitzon. Ketoret is placed on the Mizbeach as a half. It might have a different din over there. But when we're talking about ketoret, we're talking about ketoret placed on the Mizbeach hachitzon where it doesn't belong. Therefore, if it comes off, we don't put it back on. It never belonged there in the first place. So these are all items that don't belong there. Tosfos points out, what's the chiddush over here? We're talking about, when you're talking about the leftovers of the Omer, the lechem apanim, the shtei lechem, what's the chiddush in each one of them? So Tosfos says over here, eno bichlal sharei menachot. Why aren't these all leftovers? There's a difference. When it comes to the Omer, it's not like a classic type of mincha. The mincha to Omer is unusual. It comes from Seorim, and it's matir the chadash. So maybe you would think that was different. Therefore, we enumerate that separately. Shtei alechem are unusual because they come from chametz. So that's unusual also. Lechem apanim is also unusual because ein akter mahem el shnei bazichil levona. The only thing for them that ends up in the mizbeach is bazichil levona. Nothing from the lechem apanim itself ends up in the mizbeach. So each one of them is a little unique compared to the others, and that uniqueness is why it's mentioned in the Mishnah that if it was placed on the Mizbeach, it comes down because it doesn't belong on the Mizbeach whatsoever. Now the next part of the Mishnah. Atzemesh b'rashei kvasim, the hair, the wool that is on the head of a kevis, v'se'ar shebezakan tayashim, or the hair from the beard of the goats, v'hatzamot, the bones, the gidim, the sinews, the karnayim, horns, or v'atafayim, the hooves, v'manshayim, v'chubarim, when they're attached to the animal, ya'alu, then they go up, v'kushanamar, v'ktira, kohen atakol, kohen puts the entirety of the animal on the mizbeach. Pershu, on the other hand, because over there it says, kohen atakol mizbecha, over here it's pershu, if they separate, lo ya'alu, they're not put on shnemar, basito olotecha, basar v'adam, make your olah, just the basar v'adam, what ends up in the mizbeach is the basar v'adam, not these other items. But that's only true when they've been separated. When they haven't been separated, then they can go up. And that's learned out from the fact that when you shech the beima, like the kochim, the head is separated or severed from the rest of the body. The hefsheif v'nituach only applies to the body of the ola. The head of the ola is put on with its everything there. Everything that's intact goes on. There's no hefsheif v'nituach by the head of the animal. That goes fully onto the mizbeach, as opposed to the remainder of the body, which requires hefsheif v'nituach. So from there you see that the entirety of the head goes on. That's with the tzemer, that's with the seyar. Whatever's attached to it goes on. So that's how we learn out. Anything that's attached, anything that is together with the item, goes on. If it's detached, once it's detached and doesn't belong on the Mizbeach, then we say, don't put it on the Mizbeach. Right, that's the Mishnah. Tarabanan. Viktira koinet akol Mizbecha, that he puts everything onto the Mizbeach, l'rabot, to include atzamot, gidim, bones, sinews, carnine, horns, betalfayim, and hoofs, yochol afilu pershu, he would think, even if they separated, tamalomar, vasita olotecha, habasar vehadam. And so then, and we say, etolecha basar vehadam tells you that's only items that end up on the Mizbeach. I basar vehadam, yochol yachalot, gidim, atzamot, veyaleh basar legabe Mizbeach. So I would think, if vasita olotecha basar vehadam, that you would have to, as a mitzvah, to take off the gidim and the atzamot, to remove them, that you have to clean off, you have to remove all these items from the animal, so that only the basar vehadam ends up in the Mizbeach. Tamar lomar, viktira kohen et hakol, that the kohen puts everything on. Haketzad, how do I reconcile between these two psukim? Mechubarim yalu, if they are attached, they go on. Pirshu, afilu hen v'rosh Mizbeach yirdu. If they separate already, even if they're on the top of the Mizbeach, they come down, they are brought down. Alright, so we'll stop over here.